And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Hope you all are doing wonderfully today, and I really mean that. When I came on yesterday, the sun was shining, but the day's a little cloudy, a little overcast, but this is still a day that the Lord has made, and we are still glad and we rejoice in it. So I don't know what the weather's like where you are, but just enjoy it, okay? Because every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And that is the truth, folks. That is really the truth. Praise God. I came to the Lord. It's December was the month, December 22nd to be exact. 1976 was the day I acknowledged my faith in Jesus Christ. I made it formal at a church service that following Sunday, which I think was 4 days later, if I'm not mistaken. I think that would have been the 26th when I made it formal. But I count it from the 22nd because that's the day I realized that I was indeed saved, that God had saved my life. And I tell you, folks, in the course of my life, do I have a witness out there to this? In the course of my life, I've made decisions that I look back on and regret and say, man, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't gone that way. I wish I had zigged when I should have zagged. I mean, I wish I didn't zig when I should have zagged, you know, that kind of thing. But that is one of those decisions. In fact, there are several of them, but at the very top, the two I always name that I have never regretted, thank God, I've never regretted. One, of course, you can't regret if you've really come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and it's that one. That's the best decision I've ever made, and I've never looked back. You know, folks, I really get puzzled sometimes because, you know, I hear people say, well, yeah, I used to be saved, and I used to this, and I used to serve, and I think, well, did you ever really have it? Because to me, walking away from Jesus Christ is unimaginable. It really is. I just cannot imagine it. I don't know how it's done. I don't know how people fix themselves. If he's really changed your life down on the inside, if he has really caused you to become a new creature in Christ Jesus, there is no going back. You know, I've heard about people, some of them political, who've converted from Christianity to Islam. You know, they saw the light and they went to Islam. And I thought to myself, no, you definitely didn't see the light. Fact of the matter is, you never saw the light. You know, you were in darkness in the first place and maybe just going through the motions. And suddenly somebody came up with something that you thought was more attractive and you just leaped over there. Well, there's no leaping from here. I belong to Jesus for the rest of my life. And I'm just glad that he'll have me. Well, how did I get off on that? Well, I guess, you know, just the joy of the Lord, just knowing him, just knowing that you're his and he is yours, and how wonderful he is, how tender, how kind, how merciful, how loving, how patient, how forgiving he is, that he looks beyond our faults and sees our needs. So even in this time of a pandemic, a time when people's hearts are filled with fear, I've had several people come by the house, you know, to do little repair things. And you know what they all have said to me? Yeah, most people won't let me in their house. I say, really? They say, no, they don't. They'll say, no, you can't come here. It's like, I say, well, come on in. You know, because I just believe God is protecting us. And of course, we're practicing social distancing. We're not getting all up in people's faces and all of that and that kind of thing, and trying to wash our hands, remember to do that, and you know, do those basic things that we know will help keep you healthy. But no, my wife and I just figured, you know, you got to come spray. you got to come repair something, just come on and repair it. But I know that, of course, is in large measure the result of our faith in Jesus Christ. And here again, folks, I'm not suggesting foolishness. I know there are people out on the political left to, you know, want to make this into something crazy, and we're not suggesting that at all. In fact, we were all chuckling a little bit because I don't think I did anything like this. But, you know, when we get into these discussions about medical things, we want to make sure everybody knows we're not doctors. You know, I've told my church members, I say, look, if you've got a problem, by all means, go see your doctor, because if you can't have faith going to see your doctor, you're certainly not going to have faith not going to see him. So by all means, consult with your physician on these matters. I am not a medical doctor. I am not a physician. But what I can do is pray and believe God with you. And just like I mentioned, a friend of mine who was in the hospital, and, you know, we didn't say, well, the hospitals can't do anything. Just take the person out of there. No. Praise God. Lord, use the hospital. use the medical facility. Use the technology. But Lord, ultimately, you are the healer. You know, we can do both. I mean, this is, you know, faith is not insanity. In fact, it makes you even more sane. You know, when the devil came to Jesus and told him, well, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself off the pinnacle. He'll give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And Jesus said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. In other words, Jesus was saying, yeah, just because I have faith and just because the Father will take care of me doesn't make me stupid. You know, I'm not going to do something that I know needlessly risks my life for foolishness. But on the other hand, when I know that I'm doing what the Lord has for me to do, I can be absolutely fearless, okay? Absolutely fearless, because I know that the Lord will protect me. And of course, not to us. That's completely and totally rational. But we realize to the non-believer, that sounds insane because they don't believe in God. And some of the comments that I read, folks, from people who write to me, and tell me, so, you know, some imaginary person is going to do this, that, or the other for you. Well, little do they know, he is not imaginary. He is more real than anything else that exists, because nothing that exists could exist without him. So, folks, I just hope you are at peace and you are in joy. And look, like you all, I feel for our country, because I feel the fear that is out there, and I feel the worry, and you know, we see these numbers piling up. Even if the numbers are inflated, we know that people are dying as a result of this coronavirus. We may not know the exact numbers, but we know that people are dying, and every one of those deaths is a death to a family, a death to a network of friends and loved ones who are heartbroken over it. So we understand that that's a serious matter, and we don't ever make light of that. But we also know that life is not without risk. And we know that in this life, at least, death is a part of it. And the question that we always have to be answering is, how do we manage? And I think the president is trying to do that. And I think some others are trying to do that. How do we manage life's inherent risk, even in the face of a pandemic, with our responsibility to go on living? So, and here again, folks, that can be a difficult balance, and we could have a debate even among people who are basically of like mind, where you draw that line. The important thing is to understand that is a debate, that is a discussion. It's not just one way. It's not just everybody be locked down until the foreseeable future, no, because you do that and you're probably going to kill a lot more people, because people are going to suffer in ways that we can't even anticipate as a result of something like that. Nor do you say, well, you know what? Who cares about the virus? Everybody just do your own thing. Well, that wouldn't be wise. That wouldn't be prudent. So, folks, just keep believing God, and we'll be back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. How many Americans have died of the coronavirus? You might think the answer to that question would be fairly simple. After all, we have the bodies in morgues and funeral homes that we can count. That is true, but how many of those people died of the virus becomes a more difficult question to answer. Most media reports argue that we have had a significant undercount, even in this country. It isn't because government officials are trying to hide anything. It is due to the widespread lack of testing, especially in the early weeks of the outbreak. Also, people dying at home aren't usually tested, and even some who die at a hospital or a nursing home may not be tested because the medical examiners are overburdened in many of the nation's hotspots. In order to counter this disparity, New York City last week decided to add 3,700 people to its death tolls. They presume they died of the virus. That addition increased the U.S. death toll by 17%. And it's worth mentioning that Ohio also had included people in the death toll whom they suspected of having the virus. But is it possible that instead of an undercount, we might have an overcount? Dr. Anthony Fauci has dismissed this concern as merely a conspiracy theory, but Dr. Deborah Birx explained in a recent press briefing that people are counted as victims of the pandemic if they tested positive for the coronavirus, even if something else caused their death. This raises an important distinction between dying from the virus versus dying with the virus. And I'm not just playing with prepositions. If you died of cancer or a heart attack, but also tested positive for COVID-19, you are listed as a victim of the pandemic. As you can see, getting an accurate number of the coronavirus deaths isn't so easy. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Antisemitism, go to viewpoints.info/antisemitism. viewpoints.info/antisemitism.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
Many faith-based organizations qualified to serve at-risk veterans have been at a disadvantage when seeking to partner with the federal government. The Department of Veterans Affairs has proposed to remove the previous requirement that religious groups advertise for and provide secular alternatives. You see, this unfair requirement undermines and stigmatizes the faith mission of these religious groups. This proposal would bring the VA into compliance with President Trump's executive orders to end religious discrimination. Please join Pacific Justice Institute in prayer for our nation to create laws that would protect religious freedom.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Brian Fisher here. Because of government's panicked reaction to coronavirus, we now have needlessly wiped out every economic gain we've made since the 2008 recession. Muslims in Germany are demanding bailouts for mosques. To celebrate Earth Day, Michael Moore has started attacking eco-fascists with their wind turbines and solar panels. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, folks, we're going to get to some discussion about, of course, the inevitable communist Chinese Wuhan virus. That's how I prefer to refer to it. Also known as COVID-19 or the coronavirus. We're going to come back to that. But, you know, I'm a little virus weary. Some of you probably are, too. I'm a little virus weary. So I want to talk to you about a couple of other things first. And then we'll get to that. And of course, when I start taking your calls, you all can feel free to bring up anything you want to bring up. If you want to talk about that, you want to talk about something else, you want to talk about this coronavirus deal and what's going on with it or something else in the news. By the way, let me not fail to mention that I've got a call, not a personal call with me alone, but a conference call that I'll be on with the Attorney General later today. And I think he's going to be talking about what the Attorney General's office, what the Justice Department is doing to protect the First Amendment rights of our citizens during this very difficult time. So the first thing I want to mention to you is next Friday, May 1st, 12 Eastern time, I will be doing something called a Stand Against Socialism Communist live stream event. And my guest speakers on that event, and by the way, it will be live streamed on my Facebook page, EW Jackson SR, and it will be live streamed on my YouTube channel, which is EW Jackson. Our guests, and if you happen to be a head of an organization or you have an affiliation with an organization or church, and you would like to live stream this on your website, all you've got to do is write to me and say, I'd like to partner with you for this. Cost you nothing. We're not charging anything. And we will send you a link that will allow you to show this on your website so that it can become something that helps and supports you. And that, of course, it will expand our audience. More people will see it. The guest speakers are going to be Dr. Jerome Corsi. Dr. Jerome Corsi was an investigative journalist for WorldNet Daily. I think I mentioned to you all that he got caught up with the Mueller investigation and was accused by Mueller's team of having committed felonies and so forth, and that he was involved with Roger Stone and all of that. Well, it turned out it was not true. They basically kept Jerome Corsi under question for about 40 hours, folks, 40 hours. And in the end, he told them, look, I have not done anything wrong. I am not pleading guilty to anything. And if you're going to have to, you feel you want to try to indict me, you have to go ahead and do that and we'll fight it out in court. But I have not done anything wrong. Well, they backed off and they dropped it. And that tells me that a lot of that stuff was about intimidation and almost extortion, you know, because if you don't plead guilty, we're going to go after your family. All that, this kind of crazy stuff, that shouldn't go on in the United States of America. I won't get started on my views about these special counsels, but I believe that we ought to pass laws that rein them in significantly so that they can never go beyond the bounds of their investigatory charge when they are set up. So that if you find anything else, you find any crime you think is related, you can pass that on to the U.S. Attorney's Office. You can pass that on to the Justice Department to be prosecuted and investigated in due course. But you may not go outside the bounds of your initial jurisdiction. Because these people just start investigating everything and everybody, trying to justify their existence. And this has been happening. Why haven't we corrected that? But that's another matter. The next speaker will be another speaker, because I'm not sure this is the order, but Reverend Rafael Cruz, father of Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz. And you all know he's an escapee from the gulags of Cuba, because Fidel Castro started locking up people if you were a Christian, if you were a minister, if you didn't go along with the program. He started locking up people, and Che Guevara started executing people. So Reverend Rafael Cruz escaped that and escaped to America. He's got a powerful story on that. Claire Lopez, CIA agent for 20 years, folks, 20 years. She understands communism and its influence and its efforts to infiltrate our country. And we have got a big problem with that right now with communist China, a very, very, very big problem, folks. And I don't think any of us yet understand the full scope of the problem that we have, but it's very serious. I think we're just beginning to learn it as a result of this virus. Well, Claire Lopez has been seeing it for a long time. She also sees the nexus between radical Islam and the communist connection. So she sees the connection between those two, I should say. And she has some very, very powerful, insightful inside information to share with us. Not, of course, anything that violates her security clearance or things that she learned when she was working for the CIA, but things that are now available to the public, but very few know where to dig them out, and she does. Trevor Loudon is going to be speaking. Trevor Loudon is one of the premier researchers on following the trail, if you will, of attempts by communists and socialists to infiltrate the country and to buy influence. And by the way, folks, where you see this communist, you notice how certain people have jumped to the defense of communist China? Have you noticed that? Don't make communist China a scapegoat, and that's racist and that's xenophobic. And these people are totalitarian dictators who imprison and kill and torture their own people if they dare slip out of line or step out of line. And you've got people in our country who will defend them and attack our own government, attack our own president. It's just one of the most bizarre and disappointing things I've ever seen happen in this country. It's just amazing to me. I can see a debate about policy differences, But when you have a nation, a regime, because I don't like to think of ourselves as enemies of the Chinese people, but when you have a regime that is completely antithetical to everything we stand for, I mean, the official policy is there is no God. And anybody who believes in God in communist China is immediately suspect. And you got people here who will defend them, knowing that they completely disregard any notion of human rights for their people. Well, Trevor Loudon understands all this stuff and has really some powerful information. And then Lieutenant Colonel retired Alan West. Alan West is a hero of mine because Alan West has been on the front lines. You all know that he came to notoriety because he was questioning a terrorist that they had captured. And Alan West took action to help loosen his lips and get the information that he needed to save lives. And it actually worked. It saved lives. I think it all, and frankly, folks, all he did was to fire his weapon in another direction near the guy to try to frighten him. See, here again, I don't want to get into the whole debate about enhanced interrogation techniques, but I am dismayed by the fact that there are people who don't know the difference between torture and psychological pressure. Every time police interrogate somebody who they're trying to get to confess, they put psychological pressure on the person. It's not torture. Now, is waterboarding torture? Well, if it is, then they've got to stop waterboarding Navy SEALs because they waterboard Navy SEALs as part of their training. So if it's torture, then they've got to stop that. I think, obviously, it's very uncomfortable, and obviously it makes a person probably feel like they're going to die or something, but it leaves no lasting physical, and you might argue maybe it leaves psychological damage. I don't think it does even that, because if it did, then no Navy SEAL would be available to go out and get on the front lines on our behalf. They go through that training. They go through that experience to see what that's like, to see what that feels like. So there were people who wanted to court-martial him for that. And finally, the situation got resolved. But this man is a hero. And of course, he's served in Congress and spoken all over the country. He and I have been on the platform together on numerous occasions. So it's going to be a great lineup, folks. Next Friday, 12 Eastern time, my Facebook page, E.W. Jackson SR, and our YouTube channel, E.W. Jackson. And if you want to partner with us to help get this out, to show it on your website or, some vehicle you have, email me at ewj@standamerica.us, ewj@standamerica.us. Now, I've had an idea bubbling in me for a long time, and this came up talking to actually Pastor Rodney Howard Brown. It just sort of resurfaced in me again. I was doing an interview with him, and he said, as a naturalized citizen, he said, I had to take an oath to the Constitution. He said, I realize that most Americans never do that. They never had that experience. And it's true. We Americans who are born here, we don't have to take an oath to the Constitution. It's just kind of presumed. But, I've always had it in the back of my mind. I think most citizens would love to do that, not under a legal requirement, not by force, but would just love to voluntarily do that. Everybody who served in the military has done it. Everybody who served in law enforcement has done it. Everybody who served in any public office, elected or appointed, has done it. I think most citizens would love to do that. I think it could become a family thing where, we teach our children about the Constitution by having them take a pledge to the Constitution, an oath to the Constitution. But here again, strictly voluntary, something that people do because they want to do it, not because they are asked to or forced to or required to. And then you can have that posted as a plaque. You can put that up as a plaque or as one of those documents that you save and you hang, and it's a reminder to us. It just came back to me because of all these constitutional violations that we've seen during this coronavirus thing. So I'm going to read that oath to you all when we come back, and then I'm going to open up the lines and I'll mention a couple of things about this virus situation and open up the lines and get your thoughts on it, okay? We'll be back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
In a football game once, a guard had an opportunity to intercept a pass on a very crucial play. The guard tried as hard as he could to hang on to that ball, but he dropped it. It was a movement he was unfamiliar with. A fellow teammate, a defensive back who was familiar with pass intercepting, became very angry at the guard. He even went to the sideline and asked the coach to take the guard from the game, but the coach refused. A few plays later, that same person fumbled the ball while attempting to score the winning touchdown. He looked at the guard with whom he had become very upset only a few plays earlier. The guard looked at him, but said nothing. He had a look of understanding on his face. Well, the backfield man came over to the sidelines and sat down on the bench. He hung his head in shame. The coach came over, put his hand on his shoulder, and said, "We all make mistakes, son. Now get back in there and do the best you can." You know, before you throw a stone, take a look at yourself. None of us are without our faults and flaws, and we have no right to throw a stone unless we are perfect. Too many times we can see the error of another while overlooking our own. It takes no special skill to see the good points we possess and the bad which another has. Usually it only takes a little human nature at work. Sometimes those who are the quickest to find fault know the least about redeeming love. We may not have all sinned alike, but we all alike have sinned. When you look at yourself first, really look at yourself, you find it hard to throw a stone at someone else. The longer one follows this carpenter from Galilee, and the more he loves him, the slower he is to point an accusing and condemning finger. Too many of us require standards in others which we ourselves never try to reach. You know, the person who made a mistake doesn't need condemnation. He needs forgiveness and understanding and another chance. We're told in the book of books that he who loved us did not come into the world to condemn us, but to redeem us. I'm afraid that many times our message has been too much condemnation and too little redemption. I recall a parable the carpenter told about two men who went up to the temple to pray. You remember it. One prayed about how good he was, while the other sincerely begged for forgiveness. If I'm not mistaken, it was the man who thought he was so good who was rejected, and the man who begged for forgiveness who was accepted. The important thing to remember is this: our Maker loves us even if we aren't perfect. If he loved only those who were perfect, I'm afraid he would not have anyone to love. Men may scorn us and condemn us when we make a mistake, but the carpenter loves us and can still use us. Don't make it a habit in your lifetime to throw stones. You don't make yourself any bigger by making another a little smaller. Give a little help, for the time will come when you will need all the help you can get.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Now, folks, you all are getting this hot off the presses. This has not been publicly announced anywhere but here on AFR. And so this may change a little bit because it's still a draft and it's not been finalized yet, but I'm excited about it. And we're calling it a citizen's oath to the Constitution of the United States. And here is how it reads. And you tell me if you think anybody should have an objection to this. Again, voluntarily, not by force, not by government edict, not by requirement. Although some people might argue that should happen, I don't like that idea. I think it ought to be a matter of the heart, not a matter of an order by anybody. I think we've had enough orders these days. But it reads as follows: As a citizen of the United States of America, I, E.W. Jackson, acknowledge that I am an American citizen by birth or a naturalized American citizen by choice, and that I freely and proudly choose to remain an American citizen. I further acknowledge that in my lifetime, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights have been ignored, eroded, and sometimes trampled out of ignorance or an insatiable hunger for power by certain elected or appointed officials. Therefore, I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. Furthermore, that I will oppose all ideologies and ideas which undermine the Constitution, including but not limited to Marxism, socialism, communism, fascism, Sharia law, and radical Islam. I take this oath voluntarily, without any reservation, and under no legal or governmental obligation. So help me God. Now, folks, we're going to walk through that on May 1st. And I'm going to sign that publicly. I haven't signed it yet because I've been waiting for that moment. I'm going to sign that on the air publicly. Now, I've already taken an oath when I joined the United States Marine Corps, but this is a citizen's oath. Then I was taking it as a member of the military. This is a citizen's oath. And I'd love to hear your input on it. Let me mention two other quick things, and then I want to open up the lines. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we really haven't even talked much about the virus, if at all, right? We mentioned it a couple of times, but we're talking about other things. Woo! Isn't that great? It's nice to have a little break from that stuff. You know, an interesting thing has happened in Georgia. I'm sure you all have followed this story. But there's a representative in Georgia, a Democrat, by the way. He happens to be black, happens to be an American of African descent, who decided that he wanted to support President Trump. And he publicly declared his support for President Trump's reelection. He has now been forced to resign. It's Georgia State Representative Vernon Jones of Lithonia. He has now been forced to resign from office. And I only point this out, folks, to point out once again, while conservatives are often called haters and bigots and intolerant, look at what happens to anyone who dares contradict the liberal orthodoxy. They've drummed this man out. In fact, he was, I'm trying to get him on. I want to get him on to talk to him. I mean, he's still a Democrat. These programs, look, our network is not about partisanship. It is about principle, okay? As I've often said to people, and they say, well, you know, why are you a Republican? I said, look, I don't even think of it that way. I think of it this way. These are my principles. Who agrees with me? You know, that's the way I think of it. It's a party joins me, okay? I don't change my principles to join a party for some sort of political advantage I think it gives me or whatever. No, these are my principles. Who agrees with me? And if you look at platforms, if you look at principles, then it's clear as Christians where our alliances are. And by the way, the reason why I say it's not about party is that can change, folks. Parties can change. Principles don't change. So this gentleman was doing an interview and got kicked off. I mean, the guy doing the interview, let's see, who was doing this interview, just really completely disrespected him. The Rashad Ritchie Morning Show said after he explained himself and said, you know, I don't plan to leave the Democrat Party. I plan to hold them accountable on how they're treating black people, and I plan to root out the bigotry. And Ritchie says to his producer, hang up on this clown, please. And they hung up on him. Folks, this is, you talk about hatred and bitterness and anger and resentment. I don't see that coming out of the conservative community. I see adherence to principle and love of country and a real concern about our fellow citizens. But the left, it is vitriol. It is vicious. It is vile. Forgive the alliteration of V's there. Just happened to come out that way. But really, folks, it's bad. And he's now learning what I've said to people before. Look, all you if you are a member of a party that is pro-choice by doctrine and platform, and you stand up and say, well, you know, I don't agree with that. I'm pro-life. See how you make out with that. I guarantee you it won't be pretty. So the last thing I want to mention is something that does have to do with the virus a little bit, and then I'll come to your calls. And that is that the governor of South Dakota, also a woman, by the way, she happens to be a Republican, never issued a lockdown order, and she's caught a lot of flack on that. And she's explained, look, every state is different. And she said, we're doing just fine. But she goes into, and I don't have time to deal with it right now in detail, but you know what she does? She goes into a constitutional analysis about why she approached it that way. She said, you know, I have an obligation to adhere to the Constitution. I just can't go running roughshod over the rights of the people of South Dakota. He said, I can't. She said, I can't do that. I mean, so we found that our people are more than willing to adhere to reasonable recommendations and guidelines without somebody ordering them to do anything. She said, and in which case, I don't have the constitutional authority to issue orders to people anyway. I said, at last, there's a governor who understands that the American people are smart enough to adhere to reasonable recommendations, but also smart enough to know that the Constitution doesn't authorize somebody to stand up and give an edict like that's law. It's not law. That's not how the law works in our country. Okay, let's see if we can get some calls in here before we have to go through the break. The break. Let's go to Jamie in North Carolina. Jamie, welcome.
Thank you so much. I want to thank you from my heart for all that you do for the kingdom of God, Bishop. I do. I want to thank you so much. I want to comment on the foreign and domestic part of that oath that you mentioned a few moments ago. I really don't think most people are willing to fight the fight of the domestic part. I mean, our court systems are totally tilted against the righteous. And this is just my thoughts, until we start going Deuteronomical on them, we're going to have what we all, and as Dr. Phil always says, how's it working for you? How's it working for you? You know? And, you know, that's just part of how I feel in my heart. You have to be willing to fight that front of the fight. Mm-hmm.
Jamie, I couldn't agree with you more, and I think you're right. I think a lot of our political leaders are very, very reluctant to do that, to really start calling people out for what they're doing, and we're going to need leadership. I think that's part of the reason why this president is hated so much, because he's been willing to do that. But we need leaders, more leaders, who are willing to just call it like it is, because without that, the American people simply don't wake up to what's really going on. So thanks for the call, Jamie. Let's try to get one more in. We got Mac in Arkansas. Mac, welcome. Don't have much time for you, Mac,
hey,
but you're on. Hey.
All right. Hey, I'm calling from Northwest Arkansas, from the free state of Arkansas. Republican Governor Asa Hutchinson is doing a great job. Just want to say that I live in a community, either region of the state. It has over 500,000 residents, and we've had not a single death to this virus.
Mac, that's going to have to do it. I've got to take a break, but man, that's really, really good news. And I think yours is another state without a lockdown. Folks, stand by. We'll be back in a moment.
The key thing that we found is that when you're having tension around money, it's really easy to think that more money would solve it.
Shanti Feldhahn on Focus on the Family Minute.
Right, like all of us think that, and especially now. And actually, that's not necessarily true. It's truly that the biggest obstacle to financial freedom, the biggest obstacle to getting out of debt, the biggest obstacle to tithing and giving for all the churches today that are worrying about that and sort of financial survival right when they have the most needs, the biggest obstacle to all of that isn't that we don't know how to put together a budget, although that could be the case, or that we're spending more than we save, although, yeah, that could be the case. The biggest obstacle, it turns out, is the inability of a husband and wife to sit down at the kitchen table and talk about money.
Hear more from Shanti at FamilyMinute.org.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
Insanity seems rampant in our nation. Reason seems to have no voice in the marketplace. The American Family Association offers a tool by which you can be heard. The AFA Action Alert is an email opportunity to contact directly our representatives, entertainment sponsors, even corporations, saying we see them, offer a better direction, and when appropriate, acknowledge a job well done. Sign up today at afaaction.net.
So, I don't know if you saw this, but there was just this big study about anxiety among us. Really interesting in this study about what can keep us up at night. One of the top stressors out of all the things to worry about is paying for healthcare. A huge majority of us say we're worried about that. It's totally understandable, but there's an affordable alternative to health insurance. It's MediShare. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it has worked beautifully for more than 25 years. And not only do people save lots of money, they get access to a huge network of doctors. They get to take advantage of 24/7 live access online where they can talk to a doctor and even get prescriptions. And of course, there is the savings. With MediShare, the typical family saves $500 a month. That can help you sleep easier too. There's a lot to love about it. No wonder it's grown so much. Here is the number to find out more. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
We're back, folks. The number is 888-589-8840. I've done a lot of talking on this program, so let's get to your comments and questions and ideas. Let's go right to it. We've got Carl from West Virginia. Carl, welcome.
West Virginia. Hello, Brother Bishop. I call for another reason, but I will say I'm a U.S. Navy veteran, and I would happily take that pledge. Thank you for bringing it up.
Thank you for your service.
I'd like to have your permission to speak to your listeners.
Go right ahead. You've got the floor.
Thank you, sir. People that are listening, brothers and sisters listening to Bishop Jackson, it's time that we boost the bishop. There's all kinds of people at home now. They have time to tune in. So let's use word of mouth, phone calls, social media, tweets, Facebook, whatever, and tell people about this program. Ask them just to tune in one time and listen for themselves. And here's the last thing I want to say, a little ditty I came up with while I was walking. Sean is super, Rush is great, but the bishop is the best. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Carl. Okay. Oh, boy. You know what, Carl? I think we've let you go. But call, email me at ewj@standamerica.us. That little ditty is going to get you a gift. I've got to send you something. But thank you so much for the encouragement, Carl. As I've said before, I don't know whether Sean or Rush would agree with it, but okay, I will humbly take it. Thank you so much, man. I do appreciate the encouragement. Let's go to Robin in Kansas. Robin, welcome.
Yes. Hello, Brother Jackson. My husband and I greet you. I agree with the gentleman that spoke before. My husband and I in agreement. We do not have any internet, but we are going to go to the library and have them help us. If that's how you do it, standamerica.us. We're going to take that pledge with you.
Thank you.
I thank you for speaking truthfully. I thank you for speaking courageously, for remaining steady. By the power of Almighty God, by the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within, you're going to remain steadfast, enduring. We're called to do that as God's people. I just wanted to say this briefly, and the brother that answered the phone was very kind. in hearing me out, my husband said, keep it brief. But while my husband worked for a company, retired 4 years ago after working there into the 40 years, he asked me not to say how many. He's not from New York. I could care if anybody did or didn't know. But there, they were beginning to indoctrinate the people, and they had to take a test. My husband brought it home. I was shocked. It said, you are in agreement that prayer is a sign of mental illness. That was one of the questions. I wanted to copy it. I wanted to go everywhere to everybody. That's me, Little Miss New York from New York. I've lived in Kansas 30 years. The prairie's beautiful. They're subtle here. Say nothing, do nothing, head in the ground, ostriches. But God's doing a mighty thing with his people everywhere. We're not going to be able to keep our head in the ground anymore. And I ask you to keep speaking. Keep speaking. It takes one to start, and then God will honor and bless it. So my husband and I do thank you. My husband's growing bolder, and I'm learning how to become quieter. My husband gave me permission to call. Okay. Amen.
Amen. Robin, thank you so much. That all of that was really great. I really do appreciate it. Appreciate you and your husband taking the pledge on May the 1st. We're going to try to get people from all over America to do that. And appreciate that. By the way, Robin, that's chilling. But, you know, it doesn't surprise me because, folks, when I was in Massachusetts, I was practicing law in Boston. It's many years ago now. But one of the kinds of clients I would often end up representing were Christians who were accused of abusing their children. And mind you, I don't countenance abuse of children. But what we're talking about are situations in which a child goes to school and says they did something wrong. The teacher says, oh, you did something wrong. The child says, yes. What happened? Oh, my mommy spanked me. They report that to social services. The child is not hurt. The child is not bruised. The child doesn't have any broken bones. The child reported a spanking, and suddenly social services is at your door asking, what have you done to your child? And one of the things I learned in that process of representing several people under those circumstances was, if they found out that you made your children go to church, that was presumptively abusive. Now, I'm serious, folks. I'm not exaggerating. That was indicative of abuse if you made your children go to church. So the fact that you would have a form, Robin, that says, you know, that you acknowledge that prayer is a sign of mental illness, believe me, it strikes home because I saw that in practice where children were being threatened with being, parents were being threatened with having their children taken away from them in part because they made them go to church. Folks, that kind of stuff, and thank God, none of my clients ever had that result. I defended them, but just the fact that the state was thinking that way, I found shocking. And that was, folks, we're talking now about the middle 80s to the middle 90s. And that's how far back that was. Of course, it was the People's Republic of Massachusetts, but, you know, the whole country in some ways seems to be heading in that direction. But, wow, thanks for the call, Robin. Let's go to Bob in Montana. I believe that's Montana. Is that Montana, Bob?
That's correct. Montana is one of the states that started to open up, and our governor gave us three steps that we're going to be opening up shortly. And I was just thinking, Brother Jackson, about the terrible burden that our president has been going through, starting with that Mueller investigation, going to the impeachment trial, in the thing that we had to see and put up with, the Judas report that Mr. Romney gave on that impeachment thing, and now the virus that he's been having to go through. Well, what a burden on that man, Lord. It's just staggering.
I agree, Bob. I agree. We need to be praying for the president. And by the way, again, you know, I'm working on a book and I'm reviewing some of my experiences during the Obama presidency. And, you know, people may not understand this, but I actually prayed for President Obama. I prayed for him a lot because, of course, I was praying for change of heart. And also was praying for his defeat, if he did not have a change of heart, for his defeat at the ballot box. But I was praying for him, by the way, including praying for his safety, his well-being. Didn't want anything to happen to him or his wife or his children or anything like that. Of course I'm praying for President Trump. See, it's only the left that doesn't understand. You hate the people from their perspective who don't agree with you, and you care about the people and support the people, no matter how wrong they might be in any given occasion, who you like. And we as Christians are answered to a higher level than that. We answered ultimately to God. We pray for them all. But obviously, we really appreciate and honor people who are trying to adhere to biblical principle and the principles of our Constitution and our way of life. So yeah, Bob, we need to be praying for President Donald J. Trump. That's consistent with Scripture, and we don't need to make any excuses for doing so. So thanks for the call, Bob. Let's go to Miller in Louisiana. Miller, welcome.
Hey, brother, I just had a couple points. you're talking about the Democrats and the Republicans and this fellow from Georgia that,
right.
You know, did what he did. For believers, we just need to remember what the Scripture tells us that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14, that believers are not to be unequally yoked to unbelievers. And that's crucial. And then I think the other thing is like I was raised Baptist and made a profession in the third grade based on John 3:16. And for 20 years, I was as lost as a goose because so many people who think they're Christians, like I did for 20 years, don't understand that belief is not simply mental assent or intellectual acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. Satan talks to Jesus in Matthew 4, but he sees he exists, but he didn't believe. And I think that we need to remember that and just because you can't lose your salvation. If you could, then it never was eternal. So most people just aren't saved.
Amen. Miller, I've got to run because I'm running out of time. I won't get into the debate of once saved, always saved. But I'll tell you this, Miller, you hit it out of the park in terms of people thinking that they are Christians when, in fact, they are not, because they don't really have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want to say to Warren in Texas, because I'm not sure when I get to you, Warren, but yes, I am actually a bishop. I was consecrated a bishop back in 1998, and I have a number of churches I preside over, and so yes, I am a bishop. And for that, so I don't know whether I'm going to get you on to have you be able to ask your question. If I can, I will though. But I wanted to make sure you got an answer before, just in case. So let's go to Jennifer in Ohio. Jennifer, welcome.
Oh, hey, how are you doing, Bishop?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing peachy keen.
Good.
I just wanted to tell you again, I always, when I call you, I tell you how great you are. So you're great.
Thank you.
And the
Thank
other
you.
Thing is that I know this is far out there, but I always look for the conspiracy in these political things. And I really think that China and the Democrats got together and decided they were going to do this. And it's going to come out one of these days. So I just think they've made a mess of everything.
Yeah, Jennifer, obviously, I don't know whether that's true, but I'll tell you this. I've said many times before, when people share the same values, they don't really even have to get together and conspire because they're marching to the same rhythm. They're singing from the same hymn book, so to speak. And you saw how quickly the left leaped to the defense of China. Oh, no, that's racist. That's xenophobic. And you're scapegoating China. I mean, and this is a totalitarian communist dictatorship. And you would think just basic humanity, given what they've done to their people, would make them reluctant to do that. But no, because they share the same basic philosophy, which is the state is the answer and God is not. Well, folks, thank you all so much for calling. Thank you for your encouraging words. I really appreciate that. I take it to heart, humbly take it to heart, because I know ultimately God is the one who is seeking to glorify, not me. But thank you all so much. And in the meantime, remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.